You know what? Does my heart good to hear that unmistakable voice of Nan Peters singing I Surrender All. The Lord's still got you here for a reason, sister, you know. Well, we're looking again in that, must have been a little fella, Steve, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3 and 4. Chapter 3 is about the actual process of building the wall and those that build it, and we'll be looking briefly at that as I go through, but I'd like to read chapter 4 because we'll be looking at that as well. So Nehemiah chapter 4, and could I encourage you to really read through the whole book. It's just a wonderful story of the Lord's dealing with his people. In chapter 4 we come to what was to become some opposition, or supposed opposition, to the rebuilding. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stone. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard and day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the labourers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armour. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the men who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half the men holding spears, from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men nor my guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, and even and when even when he went for water. Amen. May God bless. This is word to us as we continue to look at it this afternoon. I said this morning, if we were focusing on taking care how we build, being careful how we build, we needed to commence with a good foundation, to recognise that we needed a purpose to build, that we needed to follow the rules of the designer or the architect as we look to build the Church of God, that we needed to use the right materials that God provided for us, that we needed to be prepared for those who would ridicule the work, but we need to make a start. And that's where we left it this morning, making a start. And as we look at chapters 3 and 4, we can see from this example that in being careful how we build, it involved coordination and teamwork. Are we up there? Yes. Well done. Coordination and teamwork. The Lord needs people prepared to extend themselves, to step out of their comfort zone, to get their hands dirty. And it's interesting, when we read through those opening verses of chapter 3, just have a look with me. Verse 1. Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated as far as the Tower of Hananel. Now these were priests. Priests wouldn't normally have got their hands dirty doing building work. But they recognised the need, hey? They took the job on. They were prepared to get down with everybody else and do the part that had been assigned to them. Same thing down in verse 8, we're told this. Uzziel, son of Hariah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. And Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. Now you wouldn't normally expect goldsmiths and perfume makers to be putting one stone upon another and building a wall, would you? You don't tend to see perfume makers working alongside bricklayers. Well, I don't. I don't know how long they'd last working alongside the bricklayers that I know. Mind you, some bricklayers are perfume makers, but not of the right kind. But you see the point here. The people were moving out of doing the things they were skilled in, doing the things that they were comfortable with, but for the common good, they were prepared to get down and get the job done. And there was coordination and teamwork. And brothers and sisters, if we're on about building the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone and do the things that the Spirit of God is telling us we need to do. It means we might have to take on tasks that we're not used to doing, but it's there for us. Verse 12, a little more of the same thing. It says, Shalom, son of Halahesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Now, he was one of the local governors, the local mayor, I guess. He was looking after a whole section of the community. He got involved in the work. But look what it says. He repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Man, they had girls on the job. Hear, hear, someone said. Church building isn't men's work, only. Here we're men and women, and here it is in the scriptures. The girls out helping the fellas, doing the job. Completed the section with the help of his daughters. Now that's not what we would imagine is a common picture. But here, going out, gathering up the stones that have been spread about in the destruction of the temple walls, in the city walls, bringing them back together, sticking stone upon stone and rebuilding the wall. We've got perfume makers, goldsmiths, priests, local authorities, and the girls and boys all together doing it. And the picture is of community, helping to achieve the goal that's set before them. People prepared to set aside some of their privileges for the common good to get the job done. Now, how often are we prepared to do that for the Lord and His church? Can I say that again? People prepared to set aside some of their privileges for the common good to get the job done. Well, it shouldn't surprise us either when we read in verse 5. It's the positive side, I suppose. In verse 5, are you still with us there, Steve? Interesting, verse 5. It says, the next section was prepared by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles, this is the NIV says this, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. There were some who were slackers, some who really weren't prepared because maybe they thought it was a bit below them. Their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. Well, I guess we're not surprised to hear that, and we shouldn't be surprised that there will be those like that amongst the people of God. People who really are quite comfortable doing what they're doing and not really wanting to be moved out of their comfort zone to do what God would have them do. So you see that it's interesting that the scriptures don't hold back on the positives or the negatives, and it's all laid out there for us. The necessity for coordination and teamwork in accomplishing God's purposes. Recognizing the frailties of some who may not be able to step up to the mark, as it were, in terms of service. And I guess we can say that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has all kinds of people in it all the time, one way or another. And we recognize the people of their limitations, but that shouldn't discourage us from getting on with what we know the Lord would have us do. So careful building involves coordination and teamwork. Over in chapter 4 then, it's a fairly brief walk we're looking at this afternoon. Careful building deals with problems as they arise. We said earlier this morning that there would be mockers, and to be prepared for the mockers and troublemakers. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Sanballat comes onto the scene again, and he said, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Here were the mockers who said they couldn't do it, and how ridiculous a thing to attempt. Suddenly they're angry when things start to appear on the ground. They're not happy. They ridicule the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Actually, we're not told that all the stone was burnt. It would be very hard to reuse burnt stone. But the gates were burnt. The rest of the walls were just knocked down. But here is a man ridiculing and seeking to pull down the good things that were taking place. And in verse 8, we're told they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Here is their real motive. They don't want to see this happen. They don't want to see the Israelites return to their city. They want to come and attack and destroy it. And they are making plans to set about doing this. No doubt fearful that if they should build those walls, then they would be secure, and we don't want that. So they make their plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble. But we pray to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Interesting little statements, aren't they, in the scriptures? They saw the attack, and they sought to meet that attack by using an appropriate means. Now, I just want to share with you what God has provided for us to meet the attack. And you probably know it well enough, or you should. It's there for us in Ephesians 6, isn't it? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And we need to consider, when we're at work in building God's church, we might have hostility from the world. They might see us as doing stupid things. They might see us as being ridiculous kind of people because of the way we live and the testimony that we have. But as Paul says to the church in Ephesus, we need to remember that our struggle isn't just with flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Some of you are aware of things that have been going on up in the northwest here. It seems to be a new bad spirit about the place. Things are happening. Things are getting burnt down, people's properties getting damaged. I don't know what it is or why it is, but it seems to be a bad spirit just now. And those kind of things need the Lord's people to take a stand. And it's a spiritual dimension that we're talking about here. Spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want to see good things happening. The Lord has been blessing his people. People have been growing in the Lord, and the devil doesn't want to see that happen. And we're challenged to beware, as those people who were seeking to build those walls were aware of the attack that was coming, of the threats that were being made, and they made provision to stand against it. And God gives us the tools to stand against the evil one. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Isn't that great? To stand. Stand as God's people in the presence of God and against the evil one, knowing that Jesus has the victory over sin and death, and he's a defeated foe. And he gives us the tools. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. He told it like it is. Wonderful, isn't it? The tools are there to fight against the evil one's schemes. I was a pastor in Armidale for a number of years, and I can remember a dear brother who I think was misguided, but he said, "We need to pray the devil out of this town before the Lord can come in." And we used to have a prayer meeting up on the top of the town, and I said, "Brother, you're talking about Christ, who has the victory over sin and death. Christ is the eternal King and Lord of his church, and he has the victory over the evil one. And if we just use the tools that the Lord has given us, we can be sure of that same victory." The question is, are we putting on what God has given us to use? How often are we in his word? Just for example, how often do we talk with him? The challenge is there for us to be prepared to face the problems as they arise and use the tools that God has given us to fight with. Well, careful building deals with problems as they arise and presses on to completion regardless. Careful building presses on to completion. In verse 4, we hear this, Nehemiah and his friends, "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over to plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Weren't they using those things that the Lord said to use, even as we read it in Ephesians? They appealed to God through prayer. They put it into practice. And they got on with the job. Just skimming through this in verse 16. We see some of the things that they did to respond to the apparent attack. It says, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armour. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Work and watch. Press on with prayerful determination. Work, but be watchful. The sword and the trowel. I think it's a magazine of the Reformed churches, isn't it? Sword and trowel. The two things come together. One to be on building and one to be on guard. And here was the answer provided for these who were rebuilding the wall. There was an attack that was imminent. The people were looking to overrun them so that they would be still weak and feeble. Everyone was vulnerable to attack. And they took precautions to protect themselves. But their main focus wasn't the enemy. We need to beware of that too. Their main focus wasn't the enemy, but in getting the job done. They made provision to protect themselves against the attack, but their focus was on getting the wall built. Finishing the building would be the victory. Once they did that, they would have the security. The attack of the enemy would come to nothing. And how did they do that? Verse 20, we're told. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, here they were like moving forces as they were building to protect each other. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. It doesn't say, and we'll all fight together and have the victory. No, take practical, common sense approach. Come and join us so we can withstand the foe. But what is it? Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. And that's the end result of putting on the armour that God has provided, isn't it? As we do what God tells us to do, we can be assured that God will do what he said he'll do. God will fight for us. Confident trust in the Lord combined with the practical application of what you know is right and honouring to him. There's a fellow Major Ian Thomas made what I think is a very good comment in relation to this. When we're faced with trouble and strife, having confident trust in the Lord, he says this: it is a love for God leading to dependence upon God, resulting in obedience to God, that lets God be God in a man. Is that too deep? It is a love for God leading to dependence upon God, resulting in obedience to God, that lets God be God in a man. You see, there's two things about God's sovereignty and our responsibility coming together in our relationship with our God in achieving the task that God has given us to do. Confident trust in the Lord. Cromwell, fighting the Irish, he was a man under God, and he said to his people, put your trust in God, but mind to keep your powder dry. You know, the gunpowder that they use for the weapons. Yes, we don't just blindly go on saying, God's on our side, we will have the victory, when he's given you the tools to help you win the victory. Put your trust in God, but keep your powder dry. Verse 14. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. It's as you're engaging in the battle, as you're engaging, doing the work that God's called you to, being aware of the attack of the enemy, remember the Lord, and the Lord will have the victory. And we see that that was the case. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. Isn't that lovely? Combination again. Here the enemy became aware of their plot that God had frustrated through them taking action to make way and make safe their own people and make provision that they keep on working. God was with them. God blessed them. The enemy became aware of it. But God had frustrated the enemy's plan. We all went back to work and got on with things. It's a very lovely story. God frustrated the enemy's plan and the work continued. Well, it's a very brief overview of the opening chapters of Nehemiah. I just want to share one thing, one further thing in chapter 6 in verse 15 and 16. Remember, these people made plans, they got on with the building, they did an incredible amount of work in a short space of time. They had these foundations put in place to be careful builders, looking to the Lord and trusting in him, and then putting into practice the things that they knew were right and honouring to him. Lord bless them. And we have that in verse 15 of chapter 6. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Here endeth the lesson. Simple story. This work had been done with the help of our God. Would we see the building of the church amongst the Aboriginal folk of this nation? That's my passion, that's why I've been engaged in this work for so long, and I'm sure it's the same with many of you. That we would see the Lord build his church. We need to go back to those foundations, look at the methods we're using. Are these things honouring to God in what we're doing? Being aware of the attacks, knowing who has the victory. And if it should please God, we would see his church being built and blessed under him to the glory and praise of our Saviour Jesus. Well, I trust those few thoughts are helpful to you as we look at being careful how we build. Amen. God bless you. Over to you, brother.
Thanks. Thanks, Bob. when I'm building a people of power. You like this team?
For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my Spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord.
Thank you and praise you, Lord, for your wonderful love, mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, that you are, Father, all-powerful and almighty, and that you, Lord, through you, Lord, that you, only you, Lord, can build your church. Lord, help us, Lord, to allow you, Father, to work in our hearts, Lord, to join us together, Father, as one, to build your church. Help us, Father, to put on the whole armour of God, that we may stand against the wiles of the enemy, Lord, and Lord, all to stand, Father, that we stand, Lord, in your name, that your name be glorified and uplifted, Father, and that, Lord, that we, Lord, may stand in the victory that you've given us through your Son, who was sacrificed himself for us, for our sins, and giving us the victory over it, Lord. So we ask, Lord, as we continue, Lord, through the afternoon, Lord, as we go out to Valor, Lord, to Uncle Ralph's, Lord, to join out there, Father, Lord, that you'll give us traveling mercies out there, and Lord, and that you'll bless another time, Father, that we come together, Lord, to give you honour and glory, Father. Help us now, Lord, to focus in and to see where you are working in each one's life, Lord. In each one's life, Lord, and as you work in us, Lord, as we allow you, Lord, that we may, Lord, become a team, Father, and stand, Father, together, Lord, in your name. So we just commit everything unto you now, Lord, and just ask, Lord, that you'll bless, Lord, our fellowship as we continue, Lord, throughout this afternoon and tomorrow, if your will, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
This recording is brought to you by thechristianlibrary.org.au.